best thing that I have ever done. And then because he died for me way back on Calvary, because he loved me and has blessed me in so many ways, my heart is filled with praise this morning. Amen. My heart is filled with praise because of the blessing, because of the goodness of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is anybody here God hasn't been good to? If you are, shame on you. But God has been good to all of us, and he's worthy of all the praise, all the glory, all the thanks. Amen. We ought to give him praise today because of who he is. Oh, yeah. Falling in love with Venice was a good thing. But falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that I've ever done. Oh, yeah, I'm sure Brother Terry loves him some Teresa. But falling in love with Jesus is the best thing Terry ever did. Oh, Lord. My heart is full. Yeah. Don't talk to Brother Lindsay about some Jew pie because he loves her. But I assure you, he loves Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles. Let's give the praise and worship leaders a hand this morning. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles with me to Ephesians 6 again. And I want to read in your verses, in your hearing, I should say, verses 13 through 20. And they read as follows: Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may be open, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Because you are truly worthy, O Lord. And this morning, Father, we come with thanksgiving. Thanking you for allowing us to be here today, O God, to worship you, to fellowship, to touch and agree with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, Lord, I ask that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth, O Lord, that you may be heard today. Pray for the worshipers, O Lord, open their hearts that they might receive your engrafted word with joy. And Lord, pray that we'll all be transformed by your divine power, that we might be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If there are any outside of the ark of safety, Lord, call them into yourself. Add to the kingdom, add to the church, O Lord, such as should be saved, and we will glorify you with the angels in heaven. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Amen. Praying at all times. Praying at all times. Last Sunday, we talked about standing strong. We talked about our virtual and dynamic enemy. And Paul, in the text last week, gave four admonitions to the church and to us as believers. We talked about his power and the hierarchy of his evil host of representatives, those who seek to carry out his will. We talked about his devices. We talked about his schemes. We talked about how the enemy is seeking to divide and conquer. He's seeking to destroy all that he can before they come to Jesus Christ. And even after we come, he doesn't leave us alone. He continues his assaults, his attacks upon us. But Paul gave us four admonitions that will bless us and give us the ability to be able to stand against the evil of our enemy. And the first admonition was that we be strong. Amen. And that strong was in the Lord. He gave us the admonition to protect ourselves. Amen. And he gave us the admonition that we need to recognize who the real enemy is. And if you remember, I talked about when Peter was telling Jesus that he wasn't going to die, and Jesus looked at him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he wasn't calling Peter Satan, but the spirit that was working through him, he recognized as being that of Satan, that of Lucifer, that fallen angel, amen, who rules the earth. And then he gave the final admonition, and that was that we stand. And that we stand, having done all these things, we stand, amen, in order to represent God, to resist evil, and to do the will of Almighty God. I'm not going to preach this morning about those, the armor that is covered in verses 14 through 17. Amen. I'm not going to talk about the belt of truth. I'm not going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness or the shoes of the gospel of peace. I'm not going to talk about the shield of faith, amen, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And these are all good. They are very necessary because of the combat that we engage in on a daily basis. And the reason I'm not going to talk about them is because VBS starts on Wednesday. And children and adults alike can come out and be taught about the various dynamics, the various aspects of the Christian armor, how they relate to us and our welfare as children of God, what each one is designed to do, and how it will benefit us if we put on the whole armor of God. We'll talk about the fact that I'm not teaching the class. I believe Pastor Trey, and I don't know who's assisting him. But the talks about how it being a permanent part of the believer's attire, your armor should never come off. You should sleep in your armor, work in your armor, walk, talk, and live in that armor every day of your life. But this morning, I want to focus on that critical part of this passage that is often overlooked. Amen. And it's the instruction that Paul gives to us in his admonishment to the church to pray. Amen. And he tells us to pray because as good as the armor is, it still needs to be bathed in prayer. The believers need to pray for one another. Amen. We need God's protection. We need his guidance. And we got his covering. Amen. And we also need him to move in our lives that as we wear this armor, that we can do it effectively. It is defensive and it is offensive, but it also requires prayer. When you look at a soldier out on the battlefield, yes, he has on his helmet, he has on his Kevlar vest, and he has that protection. But you know what his family is doing for that person, he or she, while they are away in war? They are praying that God will protect them, that God will bless them, that God will bring them back to them safely. And while your children are away, while your husband or your wife is away, you ought to, just even at work, you ought to be praying for them to have a good day, for them to come back home safely. So therefore, prayer is a critical part of our war with the enemy. Amen. Now, is there anybody in here who doesn't know that prayer works? Praise the Lord. I want us to know and understand that prayer does work. When we are praying according to the will of God, prayer is effective and it does work. It reaps results. It produces fruit. It allows us to hear and to see God's hand moving in our lives. And therefore, the four alls that Paul presents in these three verses gives us five dynamic elements of prayer in the life of a believer. And if you read it, you'll see that he says always, and then three other times he says all. So therefore, when we look at this passage, we understand that those five things are critical to the prayer life of every child of God. Now let's dig in and take a look at them. The first one is the frequency of our prayer. And Ephesians 6:18a, it says, praying always. Now, the Jews had prescribed times of day that they were to pray. But the coming of the new covenant and the church changed. It brought about a new dimension to the area of prayer, just like it did everything else. And prayer became one of those whenever and wherever you need to pray things that we were to lift up and to call on the name of Almighty God. Prayer became appropriate at all times. It became appropriate in every place. And early, you know, the early Christians in Jerusalem, they were devoted to prayer. And in Acts 10, it talks about the fact that Cornelius prayed all the time. He prayed continually, and the church knew the significance. They knew, they understood the importance of prayer. And for that reason, God heard their prayers, God honored their prayers, even when sometime their faith may have been a little weak. Case in point, when Peter was locked up in prison and the church was gathered in the house and they were praying for Peter, their faith didn't let them believe Rhonda when she told them that Peter was knocking at the door. Now, they're asking God to set him free. God has set him free, and he's standing there knocking on the door, and those people in the house praying for him don't believe that he's there. Praying at all times doesn't mean to pray in a formal or noticeable posture, but it means walking in the awareness of Almighty God in every situation, every day. Amen. It means that everything we experience as children of God becomes a subject of prayer. Amen. To obey this admonition, it means that when Satan tempts us, that we take the temptation, we hold it before God and say, Lord, help me to be able to deal with this problem. You know what I'm dealing with. And when we experience those things that are good, those things that are beautiful, they become a time of prayer and thanksgiving where we're saying, Lord, thank you for being so good to me. So every situation in our lives can be a time of prayer. And I've said it before, I've sat in staff meeting and prayed because I either didn't agree with or I was praying in agreement with what was being done. And then sometimes somebody may have crossed my mind that I knew needed God's help. And while staff meeting was going on, I'm talking to the Lord. They have absolutely no idea that I'm in my prayer posture talking to my Heavenly Father. So we can ask God wherever we are. And that's why I say to our young people, no, you may not be able to open your day with prayer formally like we used to stand and repeat the Lord's Prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance, but you can in your heart bow your head and say, Father, I need your help today. Let me act right. Let me be the type of student I should be. Let me learn and conduct myself in a way that is going to honor you and give you glory. We can teach our children to pray even in the classroom. We see evil and we ask God to correct the evil that we see. We ought to be willing to let God use us to that end. See, a lot of times we see it and we ask God, we tell the Lord about it, but we don't want to intervene. And we don't want to be the one who steps in to help correct the situation. We see people who are lost and we pray that God will draw them to himself, but we should also be willing to be God's witness in that situation. We ought to be willing to go and speak a word for the Lord when we have the opportunity and we see somebody who is not saved. We get in trouble. We look to God to be what? Our deliverer, to be our savior, to be the one who draws us out. To pray at all times means that we have set our affections, we have set our minds on things above and not on things of the earth. One of God's greatest desires and one of our greatest needs is that we have continuous fellowship with God. So therefore, we should what? Pray always. Amen. As the frequency of our prayer should be non-ending, it should be continual, because every waking hour we should have some interaction, some communication with the God who we say we love. Amen. And then the variety of our prayer is also critical, because we should be praying for the right things. And in that same verse it says, with all prayer and supplication. And the idea of prayer and supplication points to the fact that every area, or every type of prayer that is appropriate is an area, a type of prayer that you and I as children of God should be involved in. Now, there is corporate prayer, there is private prayer, there is community prayer, there is those little quick ejaculatory prayers that we pray when we're about to slip and fall, hit the dust, and we say, oh, Lord, help me, or oh, Lord, catch me, Lord, save me. It's just a little quick when we get out, amen, or something happens. Now, we're driving down 470 this morning, 70 miles an hour. Thank y'all for leaving me alone there. But as I top this hill, here comes a person in the same lane I am going in the opposite direction. So it was an old Lord right then. And get over, and he goes by that way, and I go by this way. And I'm looking in my mirror because there's all kind of cars behind me. It became a moment of, oh, Lord, but also, Lord, keep him. Don't let him injure anyone or kill himself. We picked up mom and came back. There were no accidents. Everything was clear. So there are those times when things happen that we need to get off a quick one. Amen. And ask the Lord to intervene, to ask him to move. According to Scripture, not only can we pray publicly and privately, but we can pray with loud cries. We can pray in a soft voice. We can pray with whispers. We can pray in silence. It is that we are praying is what's important. We can pray deliberately, or we can have planned prayers, you know, like we do. We thank the Lord when we get up in the morning. We pray before our meals. We pray before we lay down at night. Amen. And then there, like this morning, there are those spontaneous prayers that we pray because we have an immediate need that cannot wait for us to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But Lord, right now, move and deliver me from the danger that I am confronted with. The Bible says that prayer does not require that we are kneeling, but we can pray standing. We can pray sitting. We can pray lying. We can pray at home. We can pray at church. And, you know, but the point is that we are doing what? That we are praying to God. This is a story told about a man who wasn't really in good fellowship with the Lord or with the church. And he and some of his buddies were out fishing one day. A storm came up, and the wind was blowing, and the boat was being tossed, and water was coming in the boat, and his friends, they were all kind of beginning to panic, and his friend looked at him and said, they said, hey, man, you're the only Christian in this boat. You need to pray. And he said, well, I ain't really been in good fellowship with God of late and haven't talked to him for about 15 years. He said, but I'll see what I can do. And he said, Father, we need some help right now. If you let us get back to land safely, I won't bother you for another 15 years. And that's how some of us treat God. People pray seriously when a problem occurs that affects them or the people that they love. But when that problem comes up, they can pray seriously, they can pray specifically, they can pray persistently, and that's how we should really be praying all the time. Anyway, we should be talking to God on a regular basis and with persistence and specifically about those things that really are important. Paul is saying this because our biggest problems are not physical. Our biggest problems are always spiritual. And because they're spiritual, our greatest concentration should be on spiritual things in our life. Don't mean you can't, you know, you can't talk to God about the physical things, but we need to talk to him about what? Salvation. We need to talk to him about deliverance from sin, to help us with our selfishness, to strengthen us and to protect us, to guide us and to use us. Amen. And to help us have victory over temptation, to deal with those things that come from within our hearts. Jesus said it's not what goes into a person that defiles them, but it's what comes out of them that defiles them. So we should be praying, asking God to help us see the unsaved get saved. And we ought to be doing it in different ways. There are varieties of prayer. And then he tells us that we need to look at what else is going on in and around us. The New Testament and the Old Testament alike, there are many forms of prayer. And this just describes a few. But the Bible does not prescribe any one specific type a prayer for any of us or all of us to do. And for that reason, Jesus himself prayed while standing. He prayed while sitting. He prayed while kneeling. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul wrote, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." So when we are praying, God is there and God is in control of our prayer. So therefore, we just need to remember to pray. Amen. And if we pray, God will hear, he will move, he will answer prayer. So for the child of God who is filled with the Spirit that gives power to our prayers, we find ourselves praying in various ways to the glory of Almighty God. And then it is the power for our prayers that we need to focus on. For the 18th verse also says, in the Spirit. And prayer should be in the power of the Holy Spirit. And believe me, that does not have anything to do with tongues or ecstatic expressions. It is, listen, to pray in the Spirit is to pray in the name of Jesus Christ to the point that is consistent with his nature, his doctrine, and his will. All right, now, let me say it again. To pray in the Spirit is to pray in the name of Jesus in a way that is consistent with his what? His nature and his will, amen, and the doctrine of the Word of God. So when we pray, we should pray in the Spirit. Now, the Spirit helps us pray because it says, the Bible says that those things that cannot be uttered, that the Spirit expresses those with groans, amen, that translates to God exactly what we have in our hearts. So therefore, so when he intercedes is with those deep groans and those expressions to God on our behalf, the Holy Spirit is, we're joining him and praying in concert with the Spirit of God in order to express our heart's desire. So as we submit to the Holy Spirit, we are drawn into deep fellowship with God and not only with the Father, but also with the Son, according to 1 John. And the Holy Spirit gives power to the believer's prayer. See, sometimes our prayers are not even getting through the roof. They don't even get through the ceiling because we just saying what we want to say, and we're not taking into consideration how the Spirit of God assists us in our times of talking to God. Amen. See, I love that old song, and I forget what group used to sing it, but they talked about a little boy named Johnny. And when Johnny was praying, he would say, "Jesus, this is Johnny." And our relationship with God should be so intimate, it should be so consistent, it should be so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that it's like walking into the house and say, "Good morning, Daddy." And there, allow God's Spirit to bring us into that intimate, close fellowship with God through his Holy Spirit. And then Paul talks about the manner of prayer. And he says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. Jesus promised us that whatever we ask in his name, he said, "I will do it that the Father might be glorified in the Son." To pray in the right manner involves praying specifically, and God answers our prayers specifically that he might display his divine power. God answers, but when we pray in generalities and our prayers are just all over the chart, then it really doesn't give God the opportunity to answer specifically and to display his divine power. We pray in the right manner. We pray with our minds and our understanding, amen, as well as with our hearts and our spirit. There's a story, amen, amen, that one time these people were out there praying, and they just couldn't seem to get it right. There was an old lady who was there in the midst in that prayer meeting. And she said, "Well, baby, let me show you how I learned how to pray." And she took her time and she began to call on the name of the Lord. And when she got done, she just said, "In Jesus' name, amen." And they said, "Is that all there is to it?" She said, "Well, no. When you say it, you got to believe it. And you got to trust that God is going to do just what you ask him to do." So now I've said amen, and I believe it, and I know God's going to do it. Jesus said that if you ask anything according to my will, know that I hear you. And when I hear you, you're going to receive your request. So the manner of prayer should be one that says to God, "I believe you, Lord, I trust you, and I know that you're going to do what I've asked you to do." And then lastly, we're going to close. Paul talks about the object of our prayer. And the last part of that 18th verse, it says, "For all the saints." And there are places in the Pauline epistles where he tells us to pray for unbelievers. But the focus in this battle-ready portion of Scripture is for all, that we pray for all the saints, that we are praying for the children of God, that you and I as believers and part of the body of Christ are engaged in praying for other believers, those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Amen. See, it means that we recognize the fact that we are all engaged in spiritual warfare. It means that we are all wearing the armor that God has provided for us because he loves us. And then the greatest thing, the best thing a believer can do for another believer is to pray for him. Oh, let me say it again. See, y'all don't believe it. See, some of y'all think that if you give a brother a handshake, slap him on the back, say good morning, that you've really done something great for him. But the best thing you can do for another child of God is to call their name in prayer to God. Oh, y'all still act like y'all don't believe that. Amen. See, I'd rather you pray for me, amen, than do anything else in the world, because God hears and answers prayers. If you ask the Lord to bless me, I'm going to be all right. I'll be just fine, and you will be too. So we should be praying for, that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying that we should be praying for one another. When we pray for one another, the body of Christ increases. We pray for one another, we grow spiritually and in love for one another. When you don't like somebody, you still need to pray for them. And then pray for yourself as well, that God will remove that spirit from within you, because your dislike of that individual only hinders who? You. Amen. So learn to pray for people. Now, 2 Samuel, First Samuel, I should say, chapter 12, verse 23. It said, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." Samuel put it in a context that as a prophet, as a man of God, that it would literally be sin not to pray for God's people. And he says, "But I will teach you the good and the right way." And as we, you and I, as children of God, certainly we should be praying for one another and teaching other believers the right way. Paul told Timothy, he said, "The things that you've heard, you've seen in me, teach to faithful men also, that they will be able to teach it to others." And many times God has revealed mysteries to us from his word. He's shown us some powerful things, and we never pass it on. We need to learn how to pray. A spiritually healthy person is devoted to prayer. They have a fervent, active prayer life. See, the root of most psychological and spiritual illnesses is preoccupation with self. Let me say that again. The problem, the root, the beginning of most psychological and spiritual sicknesses is preoccupation with self. See, a selfish person generally will isolate themselves from the person or the people who will pray for them. Oh, I'm only mad at any selfish folk in the house. Because when you always got to be by yourself in control and have everything your way, you selfish. Now you can tell them I said they said they selfish. Amen. But when you are praying for others with sincerity and passion, is one of the greatest blessings that you can ever receive from the Lord. Make the saints, make all believers the object of your prayers. Because as we pray for one another, the body of Christ gets stronger. The body of believers become better. God answers prayer, and in answering our prayers, he allows us to experience the blessing of unity and holiness that only he can provide. Prayer does work. Prayer does work. Has anybody been the benefactor of prayer in here this morning? Amen. I believe in some way or another we all can raise our hand and say that because of the prayers of somebody else, we've been delivered, we've been blessed, we've been healed, we've been given many, many things because God has answered somebody's prayer on our behalf. Prayer does work. Now, just so you know, I know it works. Let me call a few witnesses this morning. And the first witness I'd call would be Jonah. And I say, Jonah, while you were in the belly of the fish, in the bottom of the sea, with seaweed wrapped all around you and about to die, what did you do? And I believe Jonah would say, "I called on the name of the Lord, and he heard me, and the next thing I knew, the fish spit me out down on the banks of Nineveh where God had told me to go in the first place." I believe that if I said, Daniel, what does prayer do? Daniel would say, while they told me not to pray, and I continue praying three times a day, amen, when they decided to throw me into the lion's den, God took hunger out of the mouths of the lions. He locked their jaws, took aggression away from them, and we slept together all night long. Next morning, I got up out of the den of lions, and everything was all right. Well, that tells me that prayer works. But then, let me come a little closer to our time. I said, Paul, when the ship was about to sink, and you and the other men on there began to be threatened by the waves of the sea, what did you do? Paul would say, I prayed to the Lord, and he told me to tell everybody on the ship to stay with the ship, and not one life will be lost. Well, Paul, when you shared that message with them, tell me what happened. The ship ran aground, but every man on the ship was kept alive. Oh, hallelujah. I just want you to know that when we call on the name of the Lord, we pray according to his will, we know that God hears and answers prayer. Jesus, when he stood at the grave of Lazarus, he said, Father, for the sake of those that are standing around the grave this morning, I know that you always hear me, but for their sakes, let Lazarus come on out of the grave. And Jesus, after he got through praying, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, hallelujah. And what happened after he prayed that prayer, and he called Lazarus, my Bible says that Lazarus came out of the grave, still wrapped up in grave clothes, and Jesus said, what? Turn him loose and let him go. Well, not only did he pray at the grave of Lazarus, but Jesus prayed out on Mount Calvary. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then he turned around and he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Gave up the ghost out on Calvary. See, it was God's will that he should die out there. They took him down and laid him in Joseph's new tomb. That was God's will as well. He laid there all night Friday night and all night Saturday night, and that was God's will as well. But early Sunday morning, the power of God raised Jesus from the dead, and that was the will of God also. Somebody in here had somebody praying for them. Yeah. And for that reason, you're saved today. Somebody was praying for me. And that's why I'm saved today. Prayer does work. And we as believers should be praying at all times. Let me tell you, when I was in trouble, prayer worked. When I was sick, prayer worked. When I was hurting, prayer worked. When I was lost, prayer worked. Amen. When things just wasn't going right in my life, on the job, wherever, prayer worked. I just want you to know that as God's children, trust in the power of prayer. Pray earnestly. Pray regularly. Pray specifically. Trust the Lord, and he'll what? Bring it to pass. I know it will. Because see, when I think about that night when my cousin and four of our friends went to the Herbie Hancock concert, came back home, somebody went by and killed all of them that night. I know somebody was praying for me because I could have been in that number. Think about your life. Prayer has brought you to where you are today. Continue to call on the name of God. Continue to lift up the saints. Pray for one another. And I'll say this, and we're going to open the doors of the church. Even when I don't think you're acting like you ought to be acting, I'm not saying, Lord, sick them. I'm saying, Lord, help them. Bless them, Lord. Allow them, Father, to surrender to you that they might be obedient to me. The scripture says, obey those who have the rule over you, for they what? Watch for your soul. And it's not convenient for you if you make it difficult for them. So I'm praying for y'all all the time. Pray for me, amen? Yeah, pray for me. Prayer does work. Amen. You want pastor to change? Ask the Lord. Lord, change him. Because I'm sure asking him to change y'all. Amen. Love y'all all. Prayer does work. Amen. God bless you, God. Keep your stand with me as we extend.